For the record, I have never dressed that way for a football game.
I may have gotten a little crazy, but
what did that look for?
She's going a little.
What is it that we are seeking in life? Why do we do some of the things that we do in life? Whose approval are we seeking? When I was growing up, I always tried to, I always wanted my dad's approval. And that was, because he was big, smart, could sing, and as a little fella, he had the power to actively show his disapproval. You get my meaning. And so I always wanted to get his approval. And it wasn't until I got to be a teenager. But maybe when I was growing up, when I got to be a teenager, then I wanted the approval, not of my parents, but I wanted the approval of my peers. And at some point in time, God entered the picture and said, I want you to want my approval. I want you to please me. And I think in this passage this morning says so much, not only in our everyday lives, but in our worship. Who are we trying to, whose acceptance are we trying to gain? So let's turn to John chapter 12. Two verses, not very long. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We're going to talk just a little bit about what that particular verse meant back then. Even though God had blinded the eyes and hardened the hearts of a lot of the Pharisees, even some of the chief rulers secretly believed. Now, the synagogue was the center of the Jewish life. You can kind of think of it at like Catholicism in the Middle Ages. There was nothing else but the church. The synagogue was the center of their entire lives. And if they had followed Jesus and admitted that they followed Jesus, they would have got kicked out of the synagogue, and in the Jewish mind, that would be a separation from God. So they decided they would try to please the religious leaders and secretly follow Christ. Why? Because they loved the praise of men more than they loved the praise, loved to serve God. So how terrible is it that they would do such a thing? Let me be honest with you. Here they were believers. They had accepted Christ as their Messiah, their Savior, and they didn't have the guts to go back and say to the religious leader, I'm a follower of Christ. Because they had to make a choice, didn't they? And they actually chose, even though they secretly followed Christ, they really did choose, because they didn't acknowledge him publicly. And why? Because they were afraid of what men would think of them. They were afraid of what men would think. So that's just a terrible thing. I am so glad that we are so spiritually mature today that we don't have that problem. Yes, it's a little facetious and it's dripping. Sure, you may come to church, you may do this, and you may do that. But when it comes to make a choice between to pleasing the world or pleasing God, too many times
People today will choose to please the world. They're more concerned about what the world will think than they are about what God will think. Many people today are trying to please their fathers, their mothers, their bosses, their spouses, their preacher, their schoolmates, their teachers, and so on. Trying to please everybody. Now listen, those things aren't necessarily bad in itself. If you're a kid and you're being told to please your God says, honor your father and mother. Obey your father and your mother. So you're trying to please them, and that's perfectly fine. But when we are actively seeking man's approval over God's approval, a craving for man's approval, everyone wants to be liked. There's no one here today, at least I hope not, that says, I don't, it doesn't matter to me if everyone hates me. You may say that. I know some people who said that, but secretly, what they want is everybody's approval. Children instinctively want others to like them. They just want people to like, they want other kids and people to like them. And we find ourselves doing many things just to please someone you know. Have you ever done something that you didn't want to do simply because it would make the other person happy? By the way, it's called marriage. sorry. seriously, something that you did not want to do, but to make them happy or to be accepted, then you went along with it because you didn't want them to think badly of it. When a teenager is confronted with a choice between smoking, drinking, or taking drugs, or being outcast from the cool people, the accepted people, the choice is not as easy as it sounds, because we have this powerful desire to be liked, to be accepted. So many times we do the things which we know we ought not to do. It's human instinct to want people to like you. You see, I'll be going to my 10-year high school reunion this summer. What? What? Some of y'all will be happy. Some of y'all are the same age I am. Don't be laughing. You'll be happy about that. There you go. My 40-year reunion. And I hope that we're on Facebook Live, and there may be some of them listening. But they're old people. Yeah. 40 years from graduating, we're going to be old. And you know what? When I was in high school, there were people that I thought they were the, I don't even know what the, what's the phrase for the greatest, the best today? I'll start to say the bomb, but that would have been many years. Anyway, they were cool. They were the accepted. If you were hanging around those kids, those guys, you know, you were in. But you had to kind of be a certain way. You had to kind of change. Choices. You know, many times you can tell who a person has been around by the way they talk or they act. We tend to imitate those we hang around. Why is that? Why can't we just be who God made us and be that way? Well, because we want them to like us. They're out drinking, guess what? We want to fit in, so that gives us our in. They're out, well, the list is endless. Boys, girls, men and women. This plays out every day. If you like me, you'll let me. Okay? It's the biggest crock of all the time. It's just not true. And you don't have to compromise anything, in order to gain someone else's approval. Men quest for money, power, in some misguided way,
We feel that these things will make us make people.
Had money. If I just had enough money to have this big house and this fancy car, people will like me. And the quest goes on and on and on. And it's never enough. Because of this desire for people. Oh, they may like you for a while, especially if they think they can get something out of you.
Stalkers will go around because they become obsessed with being like someone, to be accepted with personalities and stars, and they just follow them around. They're obsessed with it. And sometimes I think we become stalkers to the things that we want approval for. You see, it's powerful and it's always present. So why do we want to please men? Why can't we just say, forget you, I don't care what you think? Well, because most people don't see God. But men, they're always around. What I mean by see, I can't say, well, there's God there, or there's Jesus there. No, I don't see him. I know he's there, but I don't see him. But I know Dan's here. Both of them. I can see them. God gave us the desire to be pleasing to him. Any of y'all want to displease God? And sometimes it doesn't seem like God is there for us. The ones who seem to be the most important in our lives, like other people. But it is pleasing. You know, look, I lie. Somebody say, you did a good job. Now, you may be lying, and I may know it, but I still like to hear it. I'm just being honest. Somebody does that to me, my head gets a little bigger, and this tear goes, you know, sit back down. But I like it. I may put up a little fuss. No, but I really do like it, and you do too. You like it when someone dotes over you and someone says how great you are, how you know, some compliments you in some way, or is accepting it, and someone loves you, or says they love you. And I like instant gratification. When I do something good, I want someone to say, "Andy, you did something good." You know, there are times in marriages this happens. On the rare occasions that I do something good around the house and she doesn't notice it, I'm going, did you see the kitchen? I cleaned it up. Yeah. And she'll go, so I do it every day. But I like that. I like to be noticed. I would love for her to come in and say, and I'll probably hear this all week, but I come in and say, thank you so much for doing the kitchen. Thank you. You're good. And she's like that every once in a while. But I like that. And you do too. And so we crave it. Men can offer that to us. We do something good and someone comes in and says, good job. But when was the last time God audibly spoke to you and when you've done something good and said, Randy, you did well. I've not heard his voice. Sometimes when we do good things for him, sometimes we get treated badly. And we wonder. We wonder. We are treated badly by those around us. And we don't always understand. Look in John 14:14. It says, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. We want it instantly. But God says, your payment is coming. You will be rewarded. It just may not be here. It may not be now. So what are the consequences? What happens when you gain man's approval and not God's? Well, first off, it's a tense time. Have you ever tried to please everybody? You can please some of the people some of the time, but you cannot please all the people all the time. And if you do, you're going to drive yourself insane.
because you cannot do it. And if you think you can, here it is. You can take my job right now because you can't please everybody. And you won't. And just taking this as pastors, if you try to please everybody, you'll never please God. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to please more than one person and they wanted two different things? And you're desperately trying to find that middle ground, weave your way where you don't make both of them mad? You have to pick who it is you want to please. And then to hope the others will be understanding. And trying to please man can be frustrating. Because you know why? Because man refuses to be pleased. It's also a sad way to live a life. Constantly afraid we're going to lose someone or something or be rejected in life. That's not a way to live a life. Constantly worrying about whether that person in your life is going to accept your rejection. It's not. It's just not the way to live. It's tense. It'll drive you nuts. So don't. And it's also not only tense, but it's temporary. Have you noticed when you try to please someone, they demand that you just keep on pleasing them? I remember when I was working affiliated, and I got into the job, and I moved up the ranks real, and they were calling, I was performing miracles on a weekly basis. And then the first time I failed, I didn't produce the miracle, guess what? I was a bum. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's not a matter, you can't live on your past because they're expecting you to perform now, every time, the same way in your job. And I guarantee you one thing. For our kids growing up today who feel like they've got to have the approval of all their other friends, you make that compromise once and they will continue to want to compromise. But I will assure you, when I go back my 40-year reunion, because I did not compromise. I let my friends be my friends, and I didn't compromise my position. They may have laughed then, but they're not laughing now. I can assure you that. I know that. Because those cool people, they weren't all together. They compromised a lot of things, and a lot of times it hurt their lives. Because they end up having to continue to compromise in order to keep winning people's praise. Praise is fleeting here on this earth. There have been times I've literally watched the Razorback football game and a guy would score a touchdown and I said, he's the greatest. And then he turns around the next time he gets the ball and he fumbles it and I said, what a bum. I do it too. So what is the praise really worth from man? If it's conditional, and if it's temporary, and if it's going to cause you all this tension, it's also tragic. It's tragic in the fact that one day when your life is almost over, and you look back on all the things that you did to please other men, and remember how important you thought that was to please those people, and then you look back now and realize that it really wasn't that important at all. You wasted a lot of valuable breathing time worrying about people that didn't matter. Things that didn't matter. Then when you come to judgment and you face your Maker as a saved, secure child of God, and He says to us, you sought men's praise more than mine and spent your life trying to please them instead of trying to please me. You wasted your time there on the earth. Yeah. And I believe that in order to hear the eternal words of praise from the Father, well done, my good and faithful servant, we need to seek His approval in our lives, not of men. Do you agree? You will never look at, when you get to the end of your life, spend more time at work. You'll never come to your life and say, man, I tell you what, my poll ratings are just terrible. I wish I could have got them up. All those people who didn't really care. It's the people and the things that God has put in your lives that matter. And more importantly, it's God that matters. Getting His approval. Do you realize that if you just put God first, if you seek His approval first, that He'll take care of all the other things? He'll put people in your life that will not need to have you compromise yourself. He'll put those people in your life, the real friends, the real people who care, really care about you and not trying to use you. Get to help you understand what's really important in life. So I'm going to talk a little bit about his assurance, the certainty of God's assurance in our life, about how we can trust Him to seek after His approval. And how much better it is having the approval of God than it is for the approval of men. Let's look in Hebrews, back chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Most of the friends that I made in high school, I don't even know where they're at right now. Most of the people I thought had it all together, I've never talked to and seen. None of the people that had said they cared about me, and we were, quote, friends, after high school I never saw again. Most of the people that we think are important in our lives right now may not be. Unless you're seeking God first. Because we know that He will never leave us. And He will never forsake us. Which is more than you can say about just about anybody here in our lives. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Go through Him. Get His approval. And He says, I will give you all the things that you truly need. All the people and the things in your life that will truly make you happy. I will add it to you. Seek His approval first. He made us those promises. Have you ever had a boyfriend, girlfriend? My wife or husband. I'll never leave you. We're in love. We're going to be here. We're going to be together forever. Well, how many times did that work out? Not many. Because they broke their promise. God never breaks His promise. God the approval of others. You see, we've received His pardon. He's forgiven us. He loves us unconditionally. He loved us enough to send His Son to die on the cross for us. When was the last time someone did something like that for you? Literally gave their life for you. You see, love is not an emotion. Love is not, it's not just words. Love is action. And God loved us so much that He sacrificed Himself for us. He loved us so much that despite the fact that we're giving all the attention and trying to get the approval of men, He still loves us and wants us to come back to Him when He should just forgive us and go on. And when He praises us and when He rewards us, it is forever. It's eternal. He doesn't turn around and say, Randy, you did good today. Praise, I'm going to heap some praise upon you. But the next day, He says, boy, you messed it all up and takes it back. He doesn't do that. What's earned is earned. So what is the cure? How do we change? I'm kind of thinking that all of us have got some of this problem in us. We want to please everybody. We want to be able to fit in this world, and we don't want to cause problems. And I think too many of us are maybe secretly Christians while the world, we're
just like everybody else, instead of proclaiming who we are.
Why don't you ask yourself, what will I have when I get the approval of others? Really? What will I have? What is the great thing about having the approval of other people? What will I have to do to keep the approval of these people and these things? Am I willing to continue what I am about to begin to retain their approval? Well, if I have to compromise what God wants me to do in my life once, will I have to continue to compromise, to continue to be their friends and to be their, to be accepted? What have I lost when I've lost their approval? Think about that. What have I lost when I've lost their approval? Let me put it in perspective. There are 6 billion people in this world today. There are almost 300,000 people alone in Little Rock, in this area, probably more than that. If you're compromising yourself and what God wants for you for one person, and you're afraid to lose that one person, you're not trusting in God. God says, do what's right. If you're doing that, you're putting that person as God in your life. You're putting that person, that thing, above God, and it becomes an idol. When you refuse to follow God and follow men and your approval. What will it profit me more to gain? Their approval or to God's? If I get someone to like me, guess what? Odds are that they're not going to like you the next day or maybe next year or they're even going to be in your life. But when you gain God's approval, someone who loves you. Someone who cares for you. Jesus will not. There will be a time when we stand before Christ. And he will not ask us how many people we please in the next day, the next hour, and the next minute. But you got to do what's right. There are so many different areas in which we seek men's approval. We're constantly trying to have people look at us and say, I like that person. Do you know who I like best? People who are real. People who are not trying to please me. People who are just not putting on an act. But people who truly love God and try to please God, and in the process, they draw me to like them. I don't know about you, but I've got no love. Do you trust him with that? Because you're going to have to trust him. Because you may be parting ways with people that you don't want to part ways with. You may be parting ways with situations and things that you don't want to, but God says, trust me. I'm going to take these things and people out of your life, and I'm going to put some people in. I'm going to bless you because you're pleasing me first. Please yourself. They're selves. They're not pleasing God when they try to please themselves. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Go to God. Trust him. And he says, I'll add these things to you. I'll give you good things in life, but you got to get rid of the bad people and the bad things in your life right now that are hindering you, that you're putting ahead of me. And he says, right now you're putting yourself ahead of me. Because you don't want to do what he wants. You don't want to gain his approval. You're fighting him right now. Maybe there's something in your life right now
that you're fighting him over. Because it may hurt your standing with someone else. Because then what would others think? I've tried and fought that battle before. What is it? Who is it that you're trying to gain approval of? And what are the results going to be? Maybe you're here today and you're fighting a battle with something inside of you saying, I need to follow Christ. I need to know him as Savior. And the only reason why you know that is because right now, the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart and dealing with your life. Would you today quit fighting and quit worrying about what other people will think? And would you not just go ahead and ask him into your heart and life? And if you're here today, maybe you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized. And you're worried about what everyone else is doing. Listen, let me tell you what, that's a real thing. I struggled with that when I was a kid. It's a real thing. What if you're here today and God's calling you into some ministry? Maybe it's a deeper burden, an understanding for you, you know, towards him, to serve and work. Maybe there's some witnessing in your life that needs to be done. And you say, well, what do they think? Who cares what they think? It pleases God. Whose approval are we seeking? So as we prepare for an invitation this morning, would you consider that question? Who are we trying to prove? Who are we trying to